Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, if it's Friday, it must be Iowa. We take this show everywhere. And we welcome everyone to Coralville, Iowa. I got into the room about 40 minutes ago. Then Jack Ham called me about a couple of things. And he said, so how is it out there? And I said, well, it's 55 degrees. I said, and I've got a great view out my window. And he said, what can you see? And I said, South Dakota. All right. Great to be with you. Fun day, fun show today. And the fun show includes Kim Jones at 3:35, Ryan Snyder on recruiting at 4:06, and my brother with picks. And today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, you need to start stocking up. And when you stock up for the holidays, say, for example, you're going to meet a really good friend on... let's pick a day, the 16th. What do you think, Sean? That sound good?
16th, yep. Important day. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And you want to, you know, put your best foot forward. Maybe that good friend gets a Brewers Outlet gift card.
Now we're talking.
Or maybe they get, for example, great specials. Like, say I want to get Sean Line and Cooler Variety 12-pack. I could do that for $9.95 through Tuesday. If I wanted to get Sean Natty Daddy a 15-pack can, I could get $7.97. Red's Wicked 12-packs. Now I'm thinking about, you know, because, you know, Deb's in your household, too.
Mm-hmm.
$9.95.
Yep, I kind of go between the Angry Orchard and the Reds. Yeah, terrific.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the specials at Brewers Outlet. They have, really, without question, the best selection of beer anywhere. Imports, domestics, microbrews, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And let's be honest about it. The pickle bar is second to none. It's second to none. I love the barrels, love the dills. You know what? On the way over to the company party, we should stop there. What do you think?
No brainer. We're there.
I mean, we're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first of the month. Did the suit arrive?
Yes, the suit did arrive. Right.
Okay. I'll make sure. There wasn't any cleaning of any desks, was there?
Nah, nothing like that, though. But since you brought him up, I will say this. I would probably say going on at least 15 years, when the opportunity would pop up, if I'd have a shot to get to a Steeler game, I'd always think of Kevin and say, hey, I got a pair of tickets for this game or that game. Sometimes I don't have a pair. I know you know where you know where this is going. So
I know where we're going.
Yep, you know where I'm going with this. So I got a shot to lock in tickets for the divisional playoff game in mid-January. And obviously we won't know until after wild card weekend when and where that'll be. Either be a Saturday or Sunday that weekend. And I said, "Hey, two tickets for you. How about you and Suit Light Christmas present?" Not even 5 minutes later, get a reply back. And he says, you know, I can go to 4 IndyCar races for the price of those tickets.
Well, let me put it to you this way.
Please.
The difference between your tickets and the 4 IndyCar races is one set of tickets is in a sold-out stadium. The other four have plenty of seats available.
With possible upgrade.
Yeah. Well, possible upgrade is as you go in there, you pay the cheap seats, you just walk down to the good ones because they're not taken. Does he think we're all idiots? Come on.
Well, I knew that wouldn't surprise you at all. So his undefeated streak of going to a game with me continues. I don't know why I keep asking. I should just stop.
Because you're a nice person.
I try.
All right. I've been to Steelers games.
No, you haven't.
Not with me.
Not with me. I've got no proof. Maybe you've been in the city, but yeah, you've driven past the stadium.
It's the one that's across the river. All right, Jimbo Fisher is resigning at Florida State. He is going to take the Texas A&M job. These were some of the items that Jack and I were talking about on the phone right before I went out and started doing this show. See, I landed. I get to the hotel. I check in. I check my phone. Missed call. So I call them back. Then we talked for about 15 or 20 minutes about a variety of things. And Jimbo, of course, came up. Let me put it this way. People are wondering, why would you leave Florida State for Texas A&M? Why would you leave a job where you've got a possibility of winning your conference championship every year and really getting a free run into the college football playoff to now be maybe the third, fourth, or fifth best team in your own division? And, of course, obviously there are 75 million reasons. There's 10 years worth of security, probably a gigantic buyout along the way. But let me put it to you this way. In Jimbo's personal life, there are external issues, and we'll leave it at that. You're wondering why he might need the money.
Well, it was funny because right before I went on my lunch break, I was checking social media, and a Florida State football beat reporter happened to be driving in front of Jimbo Fisher's house this morning, and what did I see was a Christmas tree tossed out at the edge of his driveway at the road. So that was kind of one of the red lights, and then the story broke about the I don't know if they call it the regents, so the board committee board at Florida State is supposed to be either they're meeting now or at 4 o'clock as to where they're going to go next.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to he's going to Texas A&M. Now, what they're going to do? There's some talk Willie Taggart might take the job and leave Oregon. Now, how long has he been in Oregon? A year. In fact, he hasn't even been in Oregon one full year yet. It's amazing. And Tennessee fires the athletic director today. All right, now what? I guess he had a $5 million buyout in his contract. And everybody's been trolling Tennessee. I mean, have you seen all the pictures of people that have turned down the Tennessee job, the trolling? And the trolling is included, of all people, that somebody photoshopped Kim Jong-un wearing a Tennessee jacket. allegedly, he turned it down.
You know, it was funny. It was actually Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin on Twitter posted a picture of Kim Jong-un wearing a Tennessee coach's polo shirt. he tweeted that out 2 days ago. It was hilarious.
it's amazing. Okay, now this is okay. Now, as I pointed out when this all began, John Curry had never hired a football coach before. Okay, but let's outline something for you. John Curry did everything actually right in the beginning of this. All right, I'm not big on letting a coach go unless there's absolute cause before the season is over with, but you're seeing that more and more because it then gives the athletic director a head start on what to do with the next coach. Okay, all right. So I could buy this. I can play along with this. Okay. So he makes Brady Hoke the interim. They close out the season, which all this time he's now looking through the people he wants to actually hire to be the next coach. He then settles in and believes that Greg Schiano's that guy. Looking at what Greg Schiano did at Rutgers, what he did with the Tampa Bay Bucks, what he's done as the Ohio State, what he did as the Miami defensive coordinator, what he did as the Rutgers head coach, Tampa Bay Bucks head coach, Ohio State defensive coordinator. Now, keep in mind, I just outlined all of that, right? And the Chicago Bears, too. He actually went to the Bears from Penn State. Those are five jobs he's had since Penn State. Five jobs since Penn State. All right? So he goes through and he vets Greg. And when he goes through and does it, this is the guy he wants. He thinks this is the best guy to take over Tennessee. Now, remember, this is not a Fulmer-endorsed candidate. Okay? This is not John Gruden. Okay? And so it's not any of that. Okay. Well, as we all know how the social media played out, we know, we saw that. We all saw that for ourselves, how in social media, a fan base brought down a candidate. All right. Which then brings us to, then what do you do? Remember, once you've gone down a certain path and you've made your decision, you're not looking at, you know, because they were at the point where it's contracts now. All right? Now we're at the point where it's just like down to money and they're going to sign. So why on God's green earth would he even consider looking at alternative candidates? He's already got his candidate, and they're going to sign the contract Sunday night. Well, then this happens. And when this happens, now you don't have, right, an alternative candidate. So now you scramble. And by the way, I was about to get to the part about Philip Fulmer. He wants to be the AD anyway. I mean, let's be honest about it. He wants to be the AD. And it looks like he's going to get the job.
Yeah, it's been quite a fluid situation, especially within the last 6-7 hours when you hear about, you know, the former AD. Well, they're going against the other people's back at Tennessee. You know, yes, he had his eyes on Mike Leach was going to be the next person in the list.
Oh, yeah.
The list of names for one position. I mean, I can't remember the last time this has ever happened.
I don't recall this ever happening.
Yeah.
This is a case. Fulmer's always wanted to be the AD. He, of course, would be the person that would go out and would soothe the fan base right away. Whomever he picks as a head coach, and for some reason, I never hear T. Martin's name. Never. I mean, look, I watched a lot of tape of what a T. Martin offense looks like because he's the offensive coordinator at USC, and he was the offensive coordinator in the Rose Bowl. Right? You never hear his name come up. Now, maybe this is where Fulmer wants to go. I don't know. But he's going to be the AD. John Curry out. I mean, you feel like you watched a coup d'etat and the coup d'etat being done through social media. It's stunning to watch. And this, again, is a group where you look at Tennessee. Is it maybe the fifth best job in the SEC? Is it? And they think it's the best job in the SEC. No. They have not been a consistent winner in this for years. Years. And Lane Kiffin trolls them every day. Every day he trolls them. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. So it looks like Fulmer is going to be the next guy to be the AD there, and that's what he's wanted anyway, and I think that's what the fan base wanted anyway. So everybody's going to get their own, okay? They're going to get their own way with this. So we'll see. And Jimbo Fisher, 10 years, $75 million. Ah. All right. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Great Brewers Outlet specials between now and Tuesday. Leinenkugel variety 12-packs, $9.95. Natty Daddy 15-pack cans, $7.97. And Red's Wicked 12-packs, $9.95. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills, all at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Great to have you with us. And the Tennessee debacle continues. Jimbo Fisher, 10-year, $75 million deal, reportedly at Texas A&M. He's already resigned at Florida State. He will not be coaching this game this weekend. And remember, this game was put on the schedule and put back in this spot for Florida State to try and get to a bowl game. I mean, it's going to be a noon game tomorrow with Louisiana Monroe. If the stands are half full, especially after this, I'd be shocked. It would not be out of the realm of possibility that Florida State loses the game tomorrow, even though they should be a heavy favorite. I mean, this has to be for the players, like, what? All right. So Philip Fulmer riding a white horse is going to save them in Knoxville. It's all set. We have our picks later today, too. And now the new standings are very, very close. I mean, the standings that we have are very close. Now, how far back are you now? You're not that far back. Right, Sean?
Well, you and Kevin are tied, and I'm only one game back.
Yeah. See, huge. Anybody can win now.
Yes.
Anybody can win.
Yep.
And I notice all the games you put in are games where you're considered to be an expert in those cities.
I don't know about that. But, yeah, you have little faith back in September. You thought, I got no shot in this. Oh, it's over.
Hey, I just changed dartboards.
So that's the solution. If I'd known that, I'd done that a long time ago.
Yeah, I just changed dartboards. Now I'm just throwing darts at a different board now. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Kim Jones, NFL Network, next half hour, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Penn's Tavern is where you want to celebrate this holiday season. Whatever feel you're looking for, Penn's Tavern along the Susquehanna River can accommodate your needs. Mountain stone walls and wood floors can be found in the original dining area, giving you that old world charm. Continue back to the newly renovated River Room with 12 PA microbrews on tap. Grab a burger and sit back and relax in this cozy pub area. Penn's Tavern has the best gift certificate offer for the holidays. Buy 5 gift certificates of the same denomination and receive a 6th one free. Penn's Tavern, a piece of heaven on Route 147, 5 miles south of Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Sunbury Motors Studio in Coralville, Iowa, just outside of Iowa City. As Penn State plays Iowa tomorrow in the Big Ten opener at 5, we're on beginning at 4:30. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show, the Friday edition, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the specials between now and Tuesday. Lion & Kugel Variety 12-packs, $9.95. Natty Daddy 15-pack cans, $7.97. Red's Wicked 12-packs, $9.95. And, of course, the Pickle Bar is indeed second to none. Led by the Barrels and the Dills. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Nathan Davis will join us on Monday at 3:35. And then Matt Fortuna, for years covered Notre Dame, now the National College Football Reporter with The Athletic, is going to join us on the show on Tuesday at 4:35. And we're getting in touch with, what, Kim Jones right now, correct?
Yep. Attempting to do that as we speak.
Yep. Okay, so as we get her, you will let me know.
I will.
And we'll go right to it. All right. Tough blow, though. Is it really a tough blow for you in all this, that you offered the suit playoff tickets for the Steelers to go and, you know, bond, have fun?
I already moved on from it.
And he stuck it to you.
Well, right around lunchtime, I saw him in the hall and got a parting shot in. So since then, I've moved on.
Just hang with me, pal.
But I've gone through the Rolodex on the iPhone, just kind of, I'm just, okay, who's my Steeler fans here? It's like, okay, so I'm already down to a fourth option. It's not like the game is this Sunday, so we got time.
Right, I probably have a game that day. You know the way my schedule is. I mean, so at least I have a reason. I don't sit there and, like, stick it to you, for example.
No.
Or I look at you and say, yeah, I could go to 8 IndyCar events. because I can get the tickets for $1.95 each. Yeah. Maybe. Tomorrow, Penn State will open the Big Ten schedule against Iowa. Neither team coming off a great performance. Penn State was, I thought, really good the first 10 minutes on Wednesday night. I thought they were really good the last 10 minutes. The middle 20 minutes, we all know they didn't play well. Iowa didn't play well at all against Virginia Tech, and I was surprised to see it. Then you look at Iowa, they're a 4-3 team. You start looking at their numbers, their individual player numbers. They have a lot of really good individual player numbers. And it makes you wonder why they're struggling a bit. And there are a couple things that came to mind when it came to Iowa. Number one, defensive points per possession, not great. That was one of them. And so defensively, they're struggling with their defensive points per possession. They also don't play at the same pace they played at last year. They're 5 fewer possessions per game for them offensively. So those are two things that at least jumped out at me right away when wondering why they're 4-3 at this point, because a lot of their individual numbers, Mac Garza's numbers are really good, Jordy Bohannon's numbers are really good, Moss's numbers are really good. You know, they play a lot of people. I don't know. Tyler Cook's numbers, really good. You know, he gave Penn State fits last year. So I don't know. Yeah. But it's also the first time they'll play at home in 16 days. They haven't played at home. Philip Fulmer is going to be the new AD at Tennessee. Jimbo Fisher is going to be the new head coach at Texas A&M. 10 years, $75 million. Jonathan Vilma said today that he was perplexed that Jimbo Fisher would leave Florida State. I can give you 75 million reasons why he'd leave. Interesting. Very interesting. And now Tennessee, I mean, he must have an idea. as to where he's going to go with this job. I mean, seriously. I mean, he must have an idea, Philip Fulmer, as to what he wants to do in terms of offering the job out. Because obviously this shadow government thing has been going on for a while here. And that's, you know, you've got to wonder with the way that that's played out. Yeah, I would doubt that he comes up with a candidate quickly and, you know, then right, you know, and then takes care of business there. Imagine if you're Rick Barnes, the basketball coach. You're probably sitting there thinking, okay, what is this? What is going on down here? It is one crazy deal, I can tell you that. One crazy deal. Now, Penn State, as you know, they have to replace Joe Moorhead. I believe Charles Huff did tweet something today about Mississippi State. So, and then there's the 10th coach, too, that has to be hired on the way. So, and everybody has to do that. Everybody has to go out and has to hire a 10th coach. But that hiring isn't announced until January 9th. So it's another big recruiting weekend coming up this weekend. There's one next weekend. Ryan Snyder is going to join us at 4:06 today to talk about that. And we know Kim Jones, who always takes the time to join us. And if she is busy working on something, that would be the reason she's not on with us now. Because every time we ask her, she jumps right in and starts talking with us about what's going on. The Eli Manning thing, I'm sorry, makes just no sense to me. There are only a dozen of those guys, okay, in the league. A dozen. That's it. You got a dozen of them. And the Giants kicked one to the curb. There are a dozen guys in the league like that. I'm not saying Eli Manning, I'm not saying is a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying that.
And we've got Kim on the line ready to go.
Good. Kim, it is great to hear you. I hope you're doing well.
What's up?
I think I just lost her there for a second.
Steve, I got you. It's Kim.
There you go. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm sitting here in Iowa. And Jack Ham, I talked to him about an hour ago. He said, "So, what do you see out there?" And I said, "I see South Dakota." So it's you know.
Well, have they gotten over the last second pass to Juwan Johnson yet?
Here, no. But when we pulled into the Coralville Marriott, there was a statue of a Hayden Fry, and I said, "I watched him lose. I watched him lose to Penn State a lot."
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. All right, you know the Giants situation as well as anybody, if not better than anybody else. What are they doing?
Well, I think it's not an accident that as soon as they were officially eliminated from playoff contention, and fortunately for them in the timing of it, Eli Manning had passed Peyton Manning, number two all-time now among quarterbacks in terms of consecutive starts. He is officially an Iron Man behind Brett Favre. He was going to need dozens of starts in a row to catch Favre, which was always unlikely. So the streak was taken care of. The Giants officially eliminated. And, Steve, I really believe this is an organization, and I'm standing at the Giants as we speak, that truly believes it has to take a look at Geno Smith and, more importantly, Davis Webb. And the handling of it was clumsy, but I certainly do understand the objective.
See, Kim, by my viewing, there are only a dozen guys that are like Eli Manning. Geno Smith is one of the dozen.
Well, and neither's Davis Webb, though. I mean, they didn't have Phil Sims to put back in. You know what I mean? They weren't going to bring back, you know, one of the, you know, Wyatt Kittle.
Scott Bruner's not available.
You know, right.
Scott Bruner's not available.
Dave Brown
okay.
is not even available. Yes, Kerry Collins is not even available.
Dave
so,
Brown.
Yeah, I mean, you know, however this happened, that part of it wasn't going to measure up.
So what do they do from here now? And look, what happens with Ben McAdoo from here?
Well, I do presume he will coach the final five games. I don't think I or anyone else could guarantee anything beyond that, including owner John Mara at this moment. But I do think he'll coach the final five games. I think Ben McAdoo's best hope is that Geno Smith and or Davis Webb, especially Davis Webb, shows life. And the offense shows some life and actually scores, you know, heck, three touchdowns in a game, which it never does. And maybe right. shows that, you know, that there are better times ahead if they move on. So that, to me, would be if you're talking solely about McAdoo, that, to me, is his best-case scenario.
Right. There's no question about that. Geno Smith did, I don't know if he tweeted out or Instagram or whatever, saying how the locker room was excited for him. Is the locker room excited for him?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Giants stink. I get it. They have two wins. But it's a good locker room by standards of any locker room or clubhouse I've been in. It's a decent locker room. Last year it was outstanding. This year it's probably taken a couple steps beyond that, back from that. But it's a good locker room of good guys. It doesn't surprise me that they're behind Geno. They also have no choice but to be behind Geno. And when Davis Webb plays, they'll be behind Davis Webb. And if Geno Smith on the third play from scrimmage Sunday suffers a high ankle sprain on that awful turf in Oakland, Eli Manning's the quarterback again. So, right. you know, they're going to ride with whoever's there because they have to. That's the one thing about NFL players, Steve. Most of them don't have the job security that Eli Manning's had, you know, for 13 years, and most of them haven't deserved that kind of job security. There are an awful lot of guys on this team playing for their job, and sitting around and feeling bad for Eli is not going to help them.
I believe David Deal had gone back to the cafeteria area the other day. There were only two people sitting in there, according to what he said, and one was Eli Manning, the other was Davis Webb. What does that tell you about the pro that Eli Manning is, and also about the kind of young kid Davis Webb is?
Well, it confirmed for me what someone told me a couple weeks ago about Davis Webb, and that's that he's here at 6 a.m. and leaves at 7 p.m. And the person compared him with that kind of a commitment to Eli Manning. So the fact that they were having a very early breakfast and that Manning was walking Webb through some things, and Webb, I'm almost certain, was taking notes in his notebook like he always does when he talks to Eli Manning, all of that confirmed what we'd heard. It does not surprise me. I believe Archie Manning was quoted somewhere, and I'd cite it if I could remember where, of saying there's a lot of things to be grateful for. And I certainly understand in the moment Eli Manning did not realize that, but it would not surprise me that at hours and as he had a night to think about it, and as he realized who he is on this team, he realized that as well. And by the way, he also walked up to offensive lineman Justin Pugh, who's injured but would know the answer to this question, and asked him how he can help Smith and Webb help the O-line. So Eli's been in this week in the preparation. He just, you know, as far as we know, won't be on the field Sunday again, right. unless something right. happens to Geno.
Right, exactly. It's been another interesting week for the NFL, this time committing, I believe, what, $89 million to social causes. Let's do this in two parts, Kim. How important was that to the players? And then number two, does it sell a single ticket for the NFL?
Yeah, you know what, Steve? I'm probably the worst person you could ask about it right now. I did see the headlines, and I didn't have a chance. This week's been nuts to go much beyond that. I think the players, and I'm not speaking for them, I would think that by and large, and certainly there are exceptions, I'm aware of that, but by and large, appreciate the commitment. I'm not well-versed in exactly what the commitment is. Right. I would like to think everyone has good intentions here and will do good things. But beyond that, Steve, unfortunately, that one's not something I got for you today.
What do you think about the league races to this point, and especially about Philadelphia? I mean, they're 10-1 right now with Carson Wentz. What have you thought watching them this year, Kim?
I feel like they're on a magic carpet ride, and that can be a very good thing. It can also be something where once the playoffs hit, you know, it kind of slaps you in the face. Listen, every team has adversity, so an Eagles fan is going to say to me, but we lost our tackle. You know, I get that. I understand. But generally speaking, you know, Ronald Darby hurt his ankle for a long time. You know, I get it. But they've been, by and large, healthy. They've been able to overcome a lot of things. Their quarterback has grown up in a hurry. He's a big man who can have defenders hanging off of him and complete a touchdown pass. We've seen that before. We're seeing it with Carson Wentz. So they've hit the lottery here a little bit, and good for them. They're turning the NFC East into not much of a race. And I think most of us thought we would be deep into the holiday season and that division would still be up for grabs. So they've done what I didn't think possible. How they play in the playoffs, I do think will be fascinating. And obviously, I don't think any of us know that right now.
Kim, why have the Jets been better than people thought?
Because they play hard. That goes a long way in this league. They went out and got two receivers, Jeremy Curley, who was suspended ultimately for a few games. But Jermaine Kearse, in particular, from the Seahawks, was available when they dealt Sheldon Richardson, who they were trying to get rid of for months and months and months. They finally unloaded him on Seattle and happened to get a really good receiver and a really good team guy in Kearse back. At one point, Muhammad Wilkerson decided it was in his best interest to start, playing a little harder. I understand he had injuries. They've just played pretty well and pretty hard. They don't play well in the fourth quarter, which is what is their fatal flaw. They also drafted two safeties in rounds one and two, Jamal Adams and Marcus May, who will be there for a decade together starting, they hope. So they've done some things right. They really have done some things right, but they can't finish, and that doesn't help you in the league.
What are you looking for down the stretch here, Kim, that really interests you to see stories that may or may not play out?
Yeah, it's been a weird season, right, Steve? It's been more off the field stuff. It's been more drama. It hasn't been as much on the field, and that's part of the problem this year. Although I still love the game and I love watching every week. I'm going to Buffalo this week to see I'll be with the Patriots a lot this month, and I'll see them play the Bills. I'm interested to see if the Bills can get it back together and if in any way sneak into the playoffs, which for them, of course, would be an epic accomplishment. I'm interested to see in the AFC, is it the Patriots or the Steelers with the number one seed? Because that, to me, very well might determine which of the two represents the conference in the Super Bowl. I am interested in the Eagles, as you mentioned. I'm interested in two high-powered teams in the Saints and the Rams. Does that translate in postseason, and how does it translate in postseason for both of those teams, I think, who've surprised most of us? So I think that would probably be my short list, which is a pretty good list. I just wish we could talk about football a little bit more often in general than all the other stuff that, the NFL's really been caught up in this year.
Well, I would think when the Patriots play the Steelers, I think that's the opening to really talk football.
I agree.
To me, that's the one where people are going to sit there and say, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if that creates a ratings turnaround in that weekend that gets everybody juiced up again.
Oh, it'll be a great game. And in fact, as we know, Mike Tomlin's already talking about it. But even when you talk to, as I have with Patriots players, they certainly aren't looking ahead, and they would never want Bill Belichick to think they're looking ahead, because they're not looking ahead. They're not allowed to look ahead. But even they understand what an epic game that certainly will be. We don't know how the game itself will play out, but certainly the result will have wide-ranging effects in terms of almost certainly home field advantage throughout the playoffs, which Tom Brady is absolutely hell-bent every year on securing, because that has been so important to them in their success. So I agree that game will do a massive number, and that game hopefully will live up to that.
Saquon Barkley took all three honors that he could get in the Big Ten: running back of the year, return specialist of the year, and offensive player of the year. You did the feature on him, which was brilliant.
Wait a minute, what about player of the year? Is there a player of the year?
You got offensive player of the year.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. You did the feature on him, and we had you on that week. It was the Michigan week, as a matter of fact, that it came out on NFL.com. I've got to ask you about just your thoughts on watching him play, and then about his game translating to the league.
First of all, I love him, and I love watching him play. And I love him as much as you can love someone who wears a Penn State uniform and plays football and is a great kid. And I love to watch him play as much as you can watch someone play. So I love him. Everyone loves him. I now have people in the NFL who come up to me. Steve, I told you earlier this season it was every Sunday people came up to me. It's now all the time. It's now constantly that people approach me about Saquon, the great player he is. I had a conversation today in the Giants locker room. I will not tell you with whom because it was off the record. But a player who said to me, I've heard he's just the greatest kid, too. And I said, well, you've heard right. So everyone talks about him. His game is going to translate as well as you could hope. I think with this one, and I don't want to jinx him, and I don't believe in that anyway. I think with this one, you look at his skills, his work ethic, and let's be honest, his gifts. And every single thing he does wins games in the NFL. Speed, strength, power, explosiveness, will to win, and spirit. And that's how you win games in this league. And I would tell this Giants team that I'm standing in front of their building right now that as well, because they've forgotten that from a year ago to some degree. But Saquon Barkley, the moment he is drafted, will bring every one of those characteristics to an NFL team, and he will help that team's culture the moment he steps in the building. So his game on and off the field will translate beautifully, and that's just not my opinion. That is the opinion of coaches who ask me about him, GMs who talk to me about him, and current players who watch him and say to me, that guy is so good. Steve, it happens all the time.
Perfectly said. Not surprising. Kim, thanks so much. You know, it's always a pleasure talking with you. You know that.
You're the best. What's the bowl game going to be, Stevie? You know I'm going to be locked in.
I know. We're going to find out Sunday. You know, you hear different rumors. You hear Cotton one day. Then I know, you know, then you start hearing Glendale. All I know is it's going to be a New Year's Six. It'll be the first back-to-back New Year's Six for Penn State in 31 years.
Good. Well, I'll say it again. I hope we talk again soon, but I don't know that we will. But I listen to you and Jack every game, and you guys are the best, and you make the broadcast very enjoyable. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much coming from you. I appreciate that. Kim, we will talk soon, I hope.
Okay.
Appreciate
and
it.
If I don't, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you and everyone listening.
If we don't, Merry Christmas to you and Happy Holidays to you and yours as well.
Thank you.
The great Kim Jones, NFL Network. It's always great to talk with her. We're headed to the top of the hour, and then Ryan Snyder will join us to talk about the recruiting angle. What's going on with Penn State coming up is signing day on December 20th. I know I have to do something with that. I got an email about that today, so that'll be a fun day. It's always fun. Did I ever tell you the story about the first one that James had? Sean?
Did not hear that, no.
Okay, I never told you that one? Right. Well, what they do is they say, you know, with the fifth selection in the 20, whatever, what year that was, I guess it was the 2014 Penn State player draft. Penn
very
State
draft-esque, select. Yes.
Right, it's draft-esque, but they give us a card. So I had number 5, right? I got Amani Oruwariye.
They knew you would nail it.
And I sat there and I said, okay, now, he already had signed and faxed it in. Right, so you can't do any of this until they've actually got it in hand. And so they said, Steve, Amani's on the phone. I said, great. I said, Amani, I said, I'm going to have to announce your name for the next 4 or 5 years. I said, but I have to also announce your name now. I said, I have your card. I said, take me through the roadmap of your last name. So if you want to know why I could say Amani Oruwariye and have no problem with it, it started on day one because I had to ask him out of the gate. I always tell the other announcers, just say, what a play by Amani. I said, I'll take care of the Oruwariye part myself. Coming up, Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, then picks. The battle to the finish continues. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.